It is mid-September. It is the third Thursday of the month coming up, which means the Wyndham Town Board will be in session. And we have with us on the air the inimitable Mr. Thomas Hoyt. Mr. Hoyt, you liking this weather? Because I know I like it hotter, but you seem to like this cool weather.
This little shower is going to pass by this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Then a cold front's going to be in here, and we're going to hardly be out of the 60s for a couple days, and I'll feel like I'm in heaven.
Well, not me. It works the opposite with me. The colder it gets, the more like you know where it is for me. But how's the water level at the park? We've had a bunch of rain.
Well, it's actually above normal right now.
Oh, really?
So it's a shame it came a month late, but at least it's back normal. So if people want to use the lake for recreational kayaking for the fall season and get some colors, they're more than welcome.
And they can fish, I assume?
If the season's still open. I'm not a fisherman, so I don't know what the seasons are open and when they are or aren't.
Okay, me neither. Anyway, let's get to business. A week or so ago, right after our most recent conversation, the town has proposed a moratorium on site plan review. Give us a few details and what happens next.
Well, what happens next is we'll have a public hearing this Thursday about the proposed law. There are two exceptions built into this proposed law. One is anything that is currently in front of the planning board with an official application. They will be able to move forward with their application and their project. And the other one is any single family home, a 400 square foot tiny home to a 5,000 square foot huge home. They will be able to put in for an application and move forward if they need to have an application.
Okay.
So we're slowing down on the commercial side of it for the time being, and the residential side will still be able to put your home in.
Now, how does commercial get defined? Because I know, obviously, if it's a pizza joint or something, but what if it's someone who says they want to develop houses for sale? Is that commercial or is that residential?
That's going to fall under a subdivision, Mike. That's part of the reason why we're putting the brakes on, so we can get everything in the same book with subdivisions and setbacks and ordinances and laws, site plan review, and better definitions. Because when you get into the definition of commercial or a change of use, if you went from, we'll say, we have one, for example, ski shop to a liquor store, proposed liquor store, it's commercial. So should or shouldn't it go in front for a site plan? You're still a commercial business. You haven't really changed the intensity with the amount of people that are going to be in and out, which intensity triggers a site plan. You've got to change the use, but it's still commercial. So that's part of the gray area in the subdivision law now, is change of use going from residential to commercial or a different kind of commercial?
Sure, and it makes sense. Well, you've had a lot of projects come before the planning board. They were asking, let's put the brakes on, and the timing just seems right to, you know, step back and take a look at this. The moratorium would be right now for a maximum of 6 months. It could be shortened or it could be lengthened.
It could be shortened or it could be lengthened. The last moratorium we put on was for solar fields of huge calibers. We were able to accomplish that in 3.5 months, and we lifted the moratorium with a common sense law that fits in for the town of Wyndham, where we don't regulate people putting solar arrays in their backyard or on their garage or on their home, but we did do regulations on the massive fields that you see sprouting up throughout the communities, you know, in the valley.
Sure.
And that's the same with putting the site plan moratorium on. It's
right.
Not to shut everything down. It's just to pick the gray areas out of what the site plan laws now, but still allow the person that wants to build their single family home to still move forward. And the people that have already taken the effort that are a third of the way through the planning board or two thirds of the way through the planning board to keep their project on track so they can bring it to attrition.
Now, this all sort of fits into that implementation group you have going as well. You meet every fourth Thursday, which would then be next week.
We'll meet like 4 o'clock in the afternoon on that Thursday. Then we'll have the public hearing at 6:30 that evening to discuss that. And we'll go from there. I mean, everybody has their own ideas. That's why you have a group. But we have discussed subdivisions within the group already, site plans. We've touched on sign laws and noise laws. And we've touched on everything. And that was the purpose of this committee to, bring the laws that are currently on the books in the town of Wyndham up into the 21st century.
a lot of little towns are doing this. I spoke to legislature chairman Pat Linger this week, and he said the population in Greene County has increased by 7,000 since the pandemic in terms of full-time residents, which normally it's in the high 40s, 47, 48. So that's an influx. And so it's no wonder these small towns have to say, hold on, we need to catch up here.
Right. And like I say, you can't just put a line in the sand and say we're stopping and we're not in business. We still have to be in business with the single family homes because we've got a lot of contractors that need that income to feed their families. So they can do their additions, they can do their homes, they can do their modulars, they can do a double wide trailer and so move forward while we're working on this process. And the other reason why we chose this time of year, the construction season has slowed down. So there wouldn't be too many new projects popping up in November, December, January when we're working on this. And then we could get it hopefully done so that when the spring season starts, the people could go through the planning process and then start their projects.
Okay, now how do you feel driving by the construction site at the new ambulance center and senior center?
You know, we'll talk about the rain. I found that to be a gift. Probably the contractor didn't really enjoy it at the time, but it was so dry and we want great compaction around the foundation and around the stormwater drains. The natural rain makes the sediment and compaction that much better.
Oh, good.
Mother Nature helped us get our compaction to over 100%, which is phenomenal because we were building the building for over 100 years.
Wow. So what can we see now as we drive by? Can we see anything or is it still mostly underground stuff?
Most of it's underground. They're running the electrical conduit from the new building over to the wastewater plant for the service line. They've got all the insulation in for the reading heat and the rebar in for the floor. The plumbing is all stubbed up through the floor. Catch basins are all set. The well is exposed. We're putting a pitless adapter into the well to service the facility with potable water. So there's a lot more coming together. We had a big shipment of trusses and lumber this past Monday. So the field is right full of construction supplies. So once they pour that floor, I think you'll see the shell go up reasonably fast.
Yeah, people like to see trusses, don't they? That tells you something's going on.
Yeah, as long as you see progress.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
People drive by and they just see a pile of dirt and the same kind of thing. They don't realize what all goes into that before you come up out of the ground. But most of that work is already completed now. So then you'll start seeing more progress.
Now we'll switch gears briefly. We're getting some input from Lula Anderson and Judy Lopresti. They're very involved in the seniors. There's a snag, I guess is a better word, with the Meals on Wheels program coming out of Jewett. But you folks are aware of this, and you've kind of got some attention on it.
I've received a couple phone calls. The supervisor from the town of Jewett has received some calls, especially they do the meal preparation in his kitchen at his town hall. We have spoken with our county legislators, Mr. Legg and Mr. Thornton. They have in turn gotten their own phone calls from residents. They have touched base with Human Services down at Catskills that run the program. And there's a new director that just started in the past week from the retiring Terry McGee Ward. So they're trying to get on the same page, find some staff members to be able to open the kitchen back up and deliver the meals. So it's ongoing. It's frustrating, but it's not like we have a blind eye to it. We're working on it, and the labor situation in Greene County is terrible, and that's the main reason for it.
These folks are concerned. I know Human Services came before the legislature a month or so ago explaining the whole thing that they just can't find people to work. They've had to freeze new people coming into the program, and now they've had to adjust the types of foods that are delivered. So they're all over this down there, but nobody has an answer yet.
We've put out requests for volunteers to do the home deliveries as well to keep the program going. Currently right now, we, the county, is cooking in Acre to service that area, Caro and Durham. They're also cooking in Athens, and that is a bigger kitchen, and that services all of Catskill, all Coxsackie, and Athens. They do a couple hundred meals a day out of there, so it's just short-staffed is what it amounts to.
Yeah, it's pretty much all over the country. It's not just around here. There's just whatever's going on, they're having a hard time finding people to do this kind of work.
Yeah, and it's not just our human services side of the coin. It's every small municipality is having trouble with their highway departments. You know, I don't think there's a highway department that doesn't have a vacancy right now or a couple vacancies to be able to maintain the highways.
Well, just so Ms. Lopresti and Anderson know, there are eyes and ears on this. Everybody understands the importance of that program, especially with folks who can't get out. And so hopefully this gets itself worked out pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, we're taping this on Tuesday afternoon, 1 o'clock today. I had a conversation with Legislator Thornton and some of the one staff member from Human Services. So it's not going on deaf ears.
Very good, sir. And the meeting is Thursday night. You've got a lot going on. You've got your implementation committee next Thursday. Now, those meetings are open to the public, I would assume, but most of you folks just sit around and talk. I mean, it's not like you don't do things there. Or how does it work? Can the public show up?
The public could show up. Anyone's there. They're open meetings. They're not formal where we do the pledge or we take minutes.
Right.
We just pick a topic and we look at it. Our planner does a research in the month and prepares the agenda for us. And then we go over what we talked about the month before with stuff she has researched. Other members have talked to people in the community. We bring it all together. We compile it. And then we move it forward, similar to what we did with the noise issue in the community. That committee sat, talked about it for a month or two, came up with different ideas, came up with a consensus that we believe meets the community's needs, where it protects the resident, but also allows the business to have a business and allows anyone to make as much noise as you want, as long as you keep it to a proper level at a certain time of day. It's open discussion.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. Everybody just, it's like sort of like King Arthur and the Round Table. Everybody sits around and really just shares their thoughts. It's really informal, but also very productive.
Right, and at the end, we come up with a product that we feel confident enough to bring to the town board, and then the town board looks over. They may make some adjustments, and we open it up to the public so the public can put their eyes on the work that this implementation committee has done on the subject, and that'll be the same with this site plan. You know, that committee will look at it. They'll probably do their own research when they're home and look at other communities on what their site plans are. And then we'll have a discussion and they'll say, okay, this is that. And they'll come up with a plan and then they'll put it in front of the town board and the town board will move that forward to the public as well for their comment.
Now, before we get to the public hearing stage, these documents are available on the town website.
Was that? They'll be on before the board meeting. It's definitely on the agenda and it's advertised in the newspaper so people can cast their eyes on the whole draft. Laws are not advertised in the newspaper. It would take too much room and would not be cost effective.
Oh, come on. Give us some money.
Yeah, but anyone within our legal ads that we put on can contact the town clerk and she can scan it and email it to anybody or they can come in and get a copy of it on an old school hard copy.
Very good. Well, I'll tell you what, I've been writing for the paper for quite a few years, and this is one of the most historic times I've seen in Wyndham with the response by the town board, the planning board, and the seniors now. Everybody's, you know, realizing there's a lot of important stuff going on, and history's being made in Wyndham, so it looks like the momentum is going to continue.
Yep, sounds good.
Thank you, sir.
All right, see you guys.